Titled today's message, Two Witnesses and a Prosecuting Attorney That Points to Four Facts. We'll be coming out of Romans 1, verses 16 through 22, and some various other scriptures here. My introduction today starts, there's a series of questions unanswered in the minds of unbelievers that has been an excuse to keep them from coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Does God exist? Is God righteous? Is he morally right? Is God just? Is he fair? If so, why would God let a person die and go to hell who has never heard of Jesus? These questions can be quite discouraging for one that doesn't know God or God's character. However, for those who want to know the truth, these are good questions, great questions to explore or to ponder. Although, if they do not search the scriptures for the answers, it's not long before they ask this question. Is there any other way to get to heaven other than Jesus? The truth is, God does exist. God is righteous. God is just. And he's fair. And there is no other way to heaven, no other way, apart from Jesus Christ. Many of us realize there's an all-out assault on truth. Truth is actually on trial, right? Truth is on trial, and Jesus is in the witness stand. John 18:37, Jesus said, for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world to testify to the truth, to the truth. Jesus also said in John 14:6, right, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. Amen. All religions, cults, denominations, people who disagree with this are spreading lies. They're spreading lies. Truth and lies cannot mix. This claim from Jesus is absolutely true. Therefore, we either believe and live in the truth, or we reject the truth and live a lie. Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven, right? Given among men by which we must be saved. But what about those who never heard the gospel? Those who are lost now, those who are eternally lost. Is God good? Is he loving? Is he just? If so, how could he allow such a thing to happen? We will look at four facts that will help us to understand this dilemma from looking at a passage in Romans 1. Then we'll take a peek at Romans 2 and use some various other scriptures. Some of us have prayed this morning that some may surrender all to Jesus today. And also that all believers that hear this message will be strengthened in their walk and to be a bold witness for Christ wherever your feet may tread. And why is that? So we will hit the mark. Hit the target. Let's read Romans 1:16 through 22. And we'll pray. Let's pray first. Father, we thank you, Lord, for who you are. For you are so good. So good. So loving. So just. So fair. Lord, give us another glimpse of you this morning. We are here to sup and dine with you at the table. Lord, us believers are at the table. Feed us your word today. For those who don't know you, give them your light today, the light of your gospel. Help them to understand it, Lord. Draw them near to you today. We thank you for it. We praise you and we honor you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 22. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools." Fact number one, and my first fill-in here, is God gives some light to all men. God gives some light to all men. In our passage today, the Apostle Paul begins with a bold mindset that we as mail carriers of the gospel, we must have in order to be effective witnesses for Christ. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." That's bold. Not ashamed. Let's imagine that it's time for the final judgment. And here we have the accused, those who say that they never heard of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's read together the indictment that is given in Romans 1:18. This is the indictment. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." And the ungodly says, your honor, not guilty, not guilty. We never heard the gospel. We never knew how to be saved. We are innocent by reason of ignorance. We never heard. We never knew. Continue to imagine with me that the word of God steps into the courtroom as the prosecuting attorney. And the word says to the judge, "Your honor, I will prove that they are guilty. I will prove that they are not innocent because of ignorance. I will prove they cannot say they never had a fair chance." The word of God caused two witnesses to testify against these who say they never knew, they never heard, they never had a fair chance. Witness number one. Will you take the stand? And my next fill-in is coming in. Witness number one, state your name. My name is Creation. So Creation, you're a witness that God exists? Yes, I'm a witness that God exists. Look here in Romans 1:19 and 20. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. So they are without excuse. Could I have that picture of the galaxy shown? Thank you. Creation continues, Your Honor. I have also shared this same testimony in another way. Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. My very presence points to the Creator, who is certainly seen and known by everything that has been made. That right there, what we see, is evangelizing evidence. Amen. We know that there are engineers behind the vehicles that we drove here today, right? We realize that. We also believe that someone had an idea to make a pocket-sized computer that have connected us to the world, because we see them and we use them today. So when we see this vast universe put together, the galaxies, the stars, the planets, the earth, and everything that God placed on this earth, we see these things and we use them. We have to say at bare minimum three words: God the Creator. God the Creator. When creation steps down from the witness stand, the word calls witness number two, and my next fill-in will be coming up, to take the stand. Will you tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God. I will. Will you state your name for the court, please? Witness number two says, my name is Conscience. I will prove that I bear witness to God, the just judge. Let's look at Romans 2, verses 14 through 16. Romans 2, 14 through 16. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them on that day when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. Notice these Gentiles do not have the law, but lives out some aspects of the law, but not perfectly. Their conscience bears witness to their conflicting thoughts and actions that opposes the law. Therefore, they also will be without excuse. My next fill-in here. Every person on the face of the earth have two witnesses. Number one is creation. Creation is the outward objective witness. And number two, conscience. That is the inward subjective witness. These witnesses speak directly to all mankind. It speaks to the group that need to see to believe, and also those who internalize things by way of reason. It speaks to everyone. Remember this when you're witnessing. The Bible clearly speaks to those things. And the Bible is so clear to those who reject the truth. Psalm 14:1 says, "The fool hath said in his heart that there is no God." They're just suppressing the truth that creation and conscience reveals about God. And this is why our prayer for the lost should be, "Father, make them restless until they rest in you. Give them eyes to see. Give them ears to hear and a new heart that will respond to your truth, oh God." That's a prayer we should have for the lost. Fact number one, God gave some light to all men. He gave us two witnesses, creation and conscience. Together, they testify to the truth about God. My next fill-in here coming up. Fact number two, light refused increases darkness. Light refused increases darkness. Let's look at verse 21. "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." So light refused increases darkness. Isn't that right, Pastor Les? Amen. I hear that a lot from my brother. Is God just? Is he fair? Well, mankind does know that God exists through creation and conscience. Nevertheless, they chose not to honor God with their life. And those who reject the light gives in to more darkness. They dive deeper and deeper into darkness. So why does a man suppress the truth or light that God offers? Why do we do that? It's because people love the darkness rather than the light because their works are evil. This is a bad decision. This bad decision will come with a terrible, terrible consequence, especially for those who are still around after the Lord takes up the church out of the world. It's going to be serious. My next fill-in, refusing to love the truth and delighting in sin will condemn you forever. We're going to go to 2 Thessalonians 2:9 through 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. It says, "The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing, because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Wow. This should be some of the most terrifying scripture to read and hear if you have rejected the only truth that can save you. After the rapture of the church, the Antichrist will have power to deceive people. Then God will send a strong delusion. Now, why? Why would God send them a strong delusion? The steps are pretty progressive, if you look at it. These people refused to love the truth to be saved. They refused. They refused to take the gospel in. They refused Jesus Christ. When one knows and rejects the truth, they believe and love a lie. And this is proven by them by taking satisfaction in their immoral lifestyle. This is a dangerous position to be in for someone to know the truth and refuse to obey it. To do so is to harden your soil, harden your heart. Isn't that right, Pastor Jeremy? We heard a message last week, right? Harden your heart, your soil. When you do this, you are truly making sure of God's condemnation. They heard the truth. They knew the truth. They turned from the truth. They had pleasure in their filthy, dirty, corrupt sin. And God says, all right, that's what you want. You want your sin? And with that sin, your baggage will be deception, delusion, and damnation. Deception, delusion, damnation. Let me illustrate it this way. Wow. Here's a man who comes to church. He hears and understands the gospel preached. He also heard about the consequences of rejecting the truth. Wow. This man decides to reject the truth and vows to never return to church again. Although one day he hears a knock at his door. He opens the door and sees two nicely dressed false witnesses. And he says, can I help you? And let's cut to the chase. They say, we're here to tell you that there is no hell. This was music to his ears. He believes the lie. He's lost and on a broad road to destruction that leads to the very hell he says he doesn't believe in. It's not because God is not just. This man did not receive the love of the truth. Now let's circle back to Romans 1, 21 and 22. Let's touch bases here. Romans 1, 21 and 22, it reads, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. The next fill in here. People who do not honor God with their lives become insufficient in their thinking. The world thinks we're the fools. Scripture says it's the other way around. Read verse 22 again. I didn't say it. I'm just agreeing with what the scripture says. 22, claiming to be wise, they became fools. That's what God said. Claiming to be wise, they were fools. The fill-in here is claiming to be reasonable, but they became unreasonable. Anybody out sharing the gospel today, know that it seems like so many people are just so unreasonable today. It's just absolutely unreasonable. This is what the scripture tells us. They claim to be wise. They claim to be wise. They claim to be reasonable, but they became unreasonable. They became like fools. Mankind seems to know everything about life except how to obtain it. Let me say that again. Mankind seems to know everything about life except how to obtain it. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, God has placed eternity in the hearts of men. Eternity is way beyond our 3-pound brain. Amen. And God has placed this God-given awareness in the core of every soul. So how could someone dare say that they're an atheist? God has placed eternity in the hearts of man. That don't make you right with God. That don't make you saved. But he's placed eternity in the hearts of men. To me, that seems like we want to live forever. He placed this awareness in us that we want to live forever. And yet we will. It's just a matter of where we're going to be living. It's just a matter of where we're going to live. We are going to live forever. But where? Where? Jesus. All who profess that there is no God prove their belief in the lie, this lie, by their ungodly life, excuse me, which equates a major problem with God. The self-proclaiming atheist is someone who is uncomfortable with even having the idea of God. They think, if I can get rid of this idea of God, I can get rid of this uncomfortable feeling that I have. But because God is love, he's just, and he's so good, he gave us two witnesses that point to him, creation and conscience. Their witness leaves us with no excuse. Fact number one, God gave some light to all men. Fact number two, light refused increases darkness. But God did not stop here. He gave more light, the true light, which gives light to everyone. That's Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm glad to get to this part. Jesus, that was rough. And we Christians have the joy and privilege to share this good news about him to a world that's living in darkness. He came into the world, lived the perfect life, died for our sins, rose again from the dead on the third day. Believe this and live for eternity. Amen. In Christ Jesus. You just got the gospel. If you don't know him, you could get right with God just right off of what I just shared if you believe that. Amen. 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 Fact number, let me slide here. Yeah, fact number three here. When light is received, then more light is given. Yeah, I'm so glad to get here. When light is received, then more light is given. Let's look back, though. Now, I usually don't do this, but I saw something. I believe I saw something here in verse 17, and that's why I'm bagging up now for this. Verse 17. Romans 1:17, it says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. I'm coming up close to my next fill-in here. Now, please hear me out. Creation and conscience is not enough light to save men. Please hear me out. Although it is enough light to damn them. It's not enough light to save, but it is enough light to damn them. It's very important that all understand this, that no man can go to heaven apart from Jesus. Our two witnesses testify that God does exist, but it's not enough truth to save the lost soul. The fill-in here. Remember this, when sharing the gospel, creation and conscience only bring us to the fact of God. If a man is not interested in the fact of God, he's certainly not going to be interested in the way to God. Okay? So if a man is not interested in the fact of God, just believing who he is, believing that he exists, right, then he's certainly not going to be interested in the way to God. God is under no obligation to show any man the way to God who's not even interested in the fact of God. Remember, they are suppressors of the truth, verse 18. Not thankful, worthless thoughts, foolish hearts darkened, verse 21. So where does the idea come from? When men receive light, then more light is given. We saw it in verse 17. Remember, the question is God righteousness. Is God righteous? We see this, verse 17. I'll read that one more time. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. So remember, the question is God righteous? Yes. And how is this righteousness of God revealed? I like the Holman Christian Standard Bible when it says it like this: from faith to faith. From faith to faith. Quite revealing. God gives us truth. If we believe that truth, God gives more truth. More truth. God loves us so much that he speaks to us through creation and conscience. When one says, God, I believe that you exist and I want to know you, that's faith. That's faith. And God reveals himself from faith to faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he, what? Exists. And that he rewards those who seek him. Right? So as one receives light, this person is responding to God's call, and his heart is being prepared to receive the true light. The true light, Jesus Christ. To that end, God will get his gospel to that person no matter what it takes. I believe that. No matter what it takes. We have many missionaries that have proven this out, right? He gets that gospel out. He places a certain people upon somebody's heart and they go out. It's amazing. It's amazing. This is the testimony of all God's children. We also can find illustrations of this in the Bible. Some may remember the last Missions Month sermon that I preached in Acts chapter 8 about an Ethiopian eunuch. He'd been to Jerusalem, the most religious city, right? The most religious city on the face of the earth. And why had he gone there? To worship God. He come all the way from northern Africa, from Ethiopia, no cars, no planes, no trains, buses, none of that, right? He's traveling now by chariot, imagine that, all the way to Jerusalem. 87 hours by car, 35 and a half days walking. His estimated time of arrival was somewhere in between those two. Seeking God was the reason for his travel, but the truth was not found. On his way back home, he's reading Isaiah and trying to understand it. Do you know what God does for this man who's living up to the light that he has? God sends a messenger to speak to him. The guy's name was Philip. God went down into Samaria to gather Philip up, to give him a message, right? What was Philip doing at the time? Anybody remember? He was in the middle of a huge evangelistic outreach in Samaria, right? So he's winning souls for people. A huge evangelistic outreach. Man, he kind of moved a little bit like Jesus, same spirit there, right? Leaving the 99, go get the one. Very, very interesting. The message to Philip was, I want you to leave here. Rise and go out into the desert. I've got one man out there. I got one. God cares about even the one. One. I got one man out there. And I want you to tell him how to be saved. The righteousness of God was revealed from faith to faith to this Ethiopian eunuch. God sent Philip to tell that eunuch the good news about Jesus. There's another Gentile man named Cornelius in Acts 10. Although he was not of the household of Israel, this army officer had a hunger to know God. Where did he get that hunger from? Perhaps as a private on duty, he may have looked up into the starry heavens one night, God's creation, and said, all that didn't just happen up there. All that just couldn't have just happened up there. God, whoever you are, I want to know you. It could have perhaps happened that way. And God gave Cornelius a vision. Then God sent Simon Peter to Cornelius' home to tell his family how to be saved. Amen. Wow. When you obey the light that you have, God will give you more light. This should encourage believers to know that God is preparing their hearts to receive the only message that can save. But you will always have doubters. You will. When sharing the gospel, you always will come across those who doubt. I got the next fill-in coming up here. If you share the gospel with someone and they say they are a doubter, just ask them, what kind are they? What kind are they? Because it's two kinds of doubters. There are honest doubters and dishonest doubters, right? An honest doubter doesn't know but wants to know, therefore they investigate. That's what an honest doubter does. They don't know, but they want to know, so therefore they investigate. They move forward in the process, right? So a dishonest doubter doesn't know because he doesn't want to know, and he cannot find God for the same reason a thief cannot find a police officer. Same reason. Same reason. What thief you know looking for a police officer? Oh, okay. Hopefully you don't know any thieves, but if you do, witness to them. Amen. Amen. We got the next fill-in here coming up. Jesus said in John 3:20, for everyone who practices wicked things hates the light and avoids it so that his deeds may not be exposed. That's John 3:20. What is the dilemma here? It's the fill-in. The problem is not intellectual. The problem is the will. The problem isn't intellectual. Remember, when you're out witnessing to people, I hope you're going to be strengthened with these things. I really do. Remember, the problem isn't intellectual. The problem is the will. When a man surrenders his will, God gives more truth. Light obeyed increases light. Light obeyed increases light. So fact number one, God gives some light to all men. Fact number two, light refused increases darkness. And fact number three, when light is received, then more light is given. Now here's the final of these four facts. Men are judged according to the amount of light they have. Men are judged according to the amount of light they have. As far as salvation goes, when the time comes for God to judge us, it will be fair, because he will judge us according to the amount of light that we've rejected. The amount of light that we've rejected. I want you to see that it's very clear in the Word of God here. For context, I was only going to do two verses, but for context, let's look at Romans 2, at least 1 through 5. 2, 1 through 5 here. 2, 1 through 5. Therefore, you have no excuse. Here we go again. Oh man, every one of you who judges for it, in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those, practice such things, and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on a day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. Wow. Talk about a hard and impenitent heart, huh? Heart means, and I think that's just in your bulletin there, heart unyielding to the pressure, that's what it means, and impenetrable or almost impenetrable. But this is one that's not responding to the kindness, the Lord's kindness that leads them to repentance. That's a hard heart. That's about that soil, one of those soils that Pastor Jeremy was talking about last week. That is a hard heart. Now, the word impenitent, not feeling regret or sorrow about one's sins or sin or sins. That's a bad place to be in. That's a very, very, very bad place to be in. It really, truly is. Not actually feeling regret or sorrow about your sin. If you're not, I would challenge you to examine yourself and see whether or not if you are truly in the faith. I have to ask you that. God is looking at me, and what are you going to do with that, son? I got a challenge, right? If you're living in sin, not just stumbling here and there and keeping short accounts with God, but if you're living in it and you don't feel no regret or sorrow, I really challenge you. I challenge all of us. Yes. Examine ourselves. Yes. Examine ourselves to see whether or not we're in the faith. Amen. Because God disciplines whom he loves. Amen. From birth, we all were this way. From birth, we were all this way. This has been the disposition of us all. We got to remember that. Even when we're dealing with others that don't know Christ, we have to remember this, right? This was all of our disposition. So they don't come with a judgmental attitude, right? So the next question a person may have after hearing all this is like, well, who then could be saved? Jesus has the perfect answer. With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Salvation does not depend on our ability, but on God's generous grace. Hallelujah. Praise God. Remember, each person is accountable to the light that God reveals to them. And Paul has already pointed out, God has given every person enough light to be without excuse. See, he's just. He's fair. He's righteous. And he is love, right? Now, it would be bad enough for the pagan that lives in a remote place on earth to die and to go to hell, who never heard the name of Jesus, but refused to live up to the light that he or she has been given. But how much more for a person who would sit comfortably in a place of worship like this, with the Bible in hand, hear the music that truly worships the Lord, right? Listen to a pastor clearly preach the gospel that can save your soul, and you still say no to Jesus. And you still say no to Jesus. That's pretty rough there. Hear me out. The burning question is not what is God going to do with the person who never heard. The burning question really should be is what is God going to do with me? Yeah. That's where we all should be starting, right? The burning question is what is God going to do with me? You who have heard about his blood being poured out and dripping on that cross, and also understanding how he died in agony for you. Then he was buried and rose again on the third day so that you may live in eternity with him. The gospel. What's your response to this call? The gospel. In Matthew 10, Jesus sent out and instructed his disciples to proclaim the kingdom of heaven to the lost sheep of Israel. And if the people did not receive or listen to their words, he said, shake the dust off your feet. Jesus is still sending out his disciples today to share the good news about him. Why? Because he knows there is a coming judgment. It's a coming judgment. And he loves us so much. This is why he's still doing it today. And in that day, when you kneel before God and plead for mercy and say, I didn't have a chance, this would not be true for you if you are listening to this message. Officer, would you bring all the evidence into the court? What is that evidence? Would you look at that, sir? What is that? We have creation. We have conscience. We have the word of God, the prosecuting attorney, and some dust from the feet of those who shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with you. Turn to Jesus. Please turn to Jesus. All of these will testify against us, right? If you don't know him, it's trouble. You heard. You now know. You did have a chance. All men have some light. Light refused increases darkness. Light obeyed increases light. All are judged according to the light that we have. In closing, God is righteous, and I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. I can boldly say that on the authority of the word of God, if you would believe in Jesus today, he'll save you by his grace through faith. Let us bow our heads and pray. First of all, if you are certain that you are saved, I want you to begin to pray for others right now. Just start praying. You can be quiet about it, but just start praying for others right now, please, who may not know that they're saved or they really just know that they're not. Please, let's just pray for them. Father, we pray today that many will obey the light that they've received even today. Lord, that they will not leave this place or turn off their viewing online without saying yes. Yes to you. Because, Lord, I believe if they do, they'll get further from the truth. Their heart will become darker. Oh, God, help people to live up to the light that they have. And if anyone is experiencing just the glimmer of light right now, please step into this truth. Obey what you know to do, and God will teach you what you don't know. But don't let some intellectual problem keep you from Jesus. When you close your eyes, just as well as our eyes are closed now, but when you close them for the last time, you will wake up in hell and you still won't have it all figured out. Just come with faith like a little child and trust in Jesus. If you want to do that today, you could pray along with me even now. You could pray this way. Lord Jesus, I need you. I want you. I believe in you. Right now, please open my heart. I receive you by faith as my Lord and Savior. And now, Lord, I'm going to make it public today. Today. Save me and help me to not to be ashamed of you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. All right.